you so much for staying. It's a blessing to be with you all today, to worship, to fellowship, to study. Those of you that have been here a while I've been here, you know two things about what we have afternoon services about. I think you know two things about what I do on those afternoons. One is I try to keep it relatively short because we're all full of carbs. And if I don't, I'm going to lose you. So one, I try to keep it short. But two, I try to say something related to something that we just sang. Whether that's multiple hymns or one hymn. And we had some good choices this afternoon. I appreciate Kyle and Sam and Jeff leading us in songs. I was very tempted to talk about the one that Sam led, The Greatest Command, which I don't want to call it a love-hate relationship with that song, but I struggle with it because I'm not a good singer, and that song isolates each part, and I feel like I'm out on an island, and I'm like, woo, everybody can really hear how bad I am on that one. But the words are directly from Scripture. I mean, it takes 1 John 4, just an awesome chapter, and 1 Corinthians 13, an awesome chapter, and puts them together. And the words and the way it's put together is absolutely beautiful, and I would love it. I would love it if I knew how to sing, like my daughters know how to sing, but I don't. So I struggle with that song from a singing standpoint, but I love the way it's constructed directly from Scripture. So that one I was tempted on, but because I don't, I want always these afternoon lessons to provide. I want them to provide something we can take away. You know, we can take away that's easy to come away with something. The thing that really jumped out at me was Jeff led us in the song "Sweet Hour of Prayer," and that song, which is an old song, mid-1800s. Words, I looked it up, words from the 1840s and the melody from the 1850s. But if you look at, hopefully as you were singing that, you were thinking about the words. The implication is that you're coming before God in that sweet hour of prayer, regardless of the circumstance. There's an implication that time of joy, I'm coming to God. Time of cares or anxieties, I'm going to God. And I kind of felt this like a reminder, like we need to pray. We need to be praying people. And one of the reasons why that jumped out at me was, I've said this recently, I've been doing a deep dive, not here, but I've been doing a deep dive on the book of James, studying it more deeply than I ever have in my life. And recently just finished kind of dissecting chapter 4 again. And I've been through it over and over and over again. But in James chapter 4, James, I think that whole chapter is dealing with one topic. And that topic is pride. Pride, another way of saying faith in ourselves, like we're full of ourselves. And I've said this before many times in lessons, that the more that I study Scripture, especially the New Testament, the more I'm convinced that if you take everything that is taught and you boil it down to its simplest form, what you are left with is this is a battle between self and God. Now, God's going to win, but we have to decide, where are we going to place the weight of our lives? Are we going to place the weight of our lives on ourselves, which I believe is what we instinctually want to do? Because we think, and we're told by the world, that we can control everything. We can control our happiness. We can control our success. We can control our contentment. You know, all the things that we might say we want out of life. And so there's this, I believe, for me, there's this daily temptation of, Tim, you can do it yourself. But then, hopefully, at some point, we all come to a realization that that's misplaced. I am not worthy of my own faith because I'm going to fail myself. And God is the only one that's worthy of faith. So there's this battle that's happening inside. In James chapter 4, though, I think James is saying, hey, I want to tell you some things that if they show up in your lives, that they're warning signs. You know, almost like, you know, in the medical community, you have warning signs, like warning signs that you might be diabetic or warning signs that you might have heart disease or whatever it is, which are intended to help you catch something early, right? Well, I think James is presenting warning signs that we are full of pride. We are full of faith in ourselves. Does that make sense? And I'm not going to go through all of chapter 4, but as one example, he says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Meaning, I think, within your congregations. He's writing to brothers in Christ. He says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? So if you're in a congregation that's struggling with quarrels and fighting and divisions, he says, is it not your passions that are at war inside of you? If you are having quarrels and fights, that is a sign that you're not all working together to be unified around the Word of God. Instead, you're all kind of going forward with your own agendas and your own opinions and your own motivations. See how that works? That's a warning sign. If you're fighting with each other, might want to look on the inside. Well, in the midst of this list of signs that we are relying on self rather than God, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. Well, what does that mean? It means you don't pray. You don't pray. And you say, well, how is that a sign of pride that I'm building faith in self? When is the most likely time to not pray? When you think everything's going great, right? I got it all under control. Everything's good. I don't need any help. And so I'm not going to fall on my knees and I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to go for that sweet hour of prayer, right? The less we pray, the more likely it is that we are filled with self. And we no longer feel a need for God. And so that song, when Jeff led that, it was a reminder to me that prayer is this incredible privilege, but I should also be asking myself, am I praying as though I need God in every situation? A letter that Paul wrote, not James, written by James, obviously. Paul, the 1 Thessalonian letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love the end of that letter because it's almost like he writes all the things he's most concerned about, and then at the end, he's like, well, in case I forgot something, and he just starts throwing a bunch of stuff out there. It's like the lightning round, rapid fire at the very end. And in between these imperatives to rejoice always and give thanks on every occasion, he says this, pray without ceasing. Again, it's just rapid fire. Boom, here's all the stuff that I just got to slide it in at the last minute before this letter's over. And he says, pray without ceasing. Well, why? Because we have an audience with the Creator of the universe, made possible by the death of His Son. We've been studying that in Hebrews, right? We have the ultimate high priest. Because we have the ultimate high priest, what can we do? We can approach the throne of God. And again, back to what James says, you don't have because you don't ask. If I'm not utilizing that privilege, what is that a sign of? That I'm full of myself. I don't feel like I need I don't feel like I need God. So the simple message that begins with a hymn that reminds me, hopefully us, of James saying, if you're not praying, it's probably a sign you're focused on yourself. Remember to pray in all situations. Paul in another letter will say, when we pray, what's happening? The Spirit is interceding with groanings too deep for words. I mean, not only do we have the confidence because of Christ to approach the throne of God? But God Himself, through His Spirit, is interceding and communicating what we are unable to communicate. While another part of the Godhead, the Son, is there at His right hand interceding on our behalf. And so, let's come away from this going, am I praying like someone who has faith in God? Or am I praying? Or does my prayer life look more like someone who's living with faith in themselves? Can we truthfully sing about that sweet hour of prayer? Is that part of our lives? Or are we living like, really, I'm relying on myself to do what I want to do in this life? Let that be a reminder. Again, this is all, again, it kind of comes down to this battle between self and God. And ultimately, all of us have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. If you hear this evening, this afternoon, and you never made the choice to say, I'm going to live the rest of my life for God. I believe it's a choice we have to make every day. But it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere with our repentance, with our baptism, a commitment for the rest of our lives. If you've never made that choice, why not begin that today? If there's anything else we can do for you, please come while Jeff leads us in our invitation song.